Hare Krishna. So we did the review already, right? So we'll just continue from 31, right? We did review, right? Prabhu did review? No? Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know. Okay, just briefly, just we'll review whatever we discussed in the last session. Just to have a context. I don't know how many of you read before. So we are discussing chapter 13. What verses we did recover? 24 to 30. Yeah, just briefly some points. So Krishna is talking about how, you know, summary. Yeah, from 27 onwards it's a summary. Otherwise 24 to 26 instructions basically, you know, are from within. Yeah, text number 24, he says, one who understands his philosophy, okay, it's a like kind of like a benediction he's giving. Once you understand this philosophy, he'll not take birth again. They will, similar to that verse where Janma Karma Chame Divyam, he says, one who understands my birth and activities will never take birth again. That's the benediction he's giving. 25, he's talking about how to realize their super soul now. You know, there are different processes. The one is Jnana Yoga, one is, you know, Bhakti Yoga, and this one is Ashtanga Yoga, and others is Nishkama Karma Yoga. These are three different techniques. Prabhupada, we read the purport. Prabhupada summarizes how each of them eventually realizes the super soul. Okay, that's one. 26.
It's about Bhakti.
Yeah, Lord Chaitanya. Okay, who conversions hearing about him. So even if we don't have attraction for Supreme Lord, just by hearing, we begin the process. So then we related that with the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam where it says about, you know, rapt attention. Hearing with rapt attention. It's a very crucial thing for making spiritual progress. From the right person. Text number 27. Whatever you see in existence is only a combination of field of activity. So it's like a summary. Saying whatever you see is a combination of material nature and the knower, the jiva. Because of the interaction, there are so many flavors, so many varieties. But actually, it's just these two are the basic essence. 28. So, one who has this vision that actually it's not the individual soul, super soul also is traveling with the soul, you know, then he's a real seer. That's the real knowledge, basically. That's what he's trying to say. Text number 29. So seeing super soul present everywhere, he approaches transcendental destination. That means he's already achieving the spiritual platform. Because he's seeing everybody, super soul present in everyone, and everybody's actions is permitted and sanctioned by the super soul. He doesn't take anything personally. He doesn't even look at that. That's a very elevated stage actually. You know, for us normally we behave, but suddenly somebody says something, immediately, you know, we start putting blame against that particular person. Krishna will no longer be in picture actually. You know, we don't. So somehow we should cultivate this training, we should practice that in every situation, actually it's between me and Krishna. This what
the person should treat
it as instrument of Krishna. Instrument of my karma. That it happened to happen. Then what is the message I have to learn in this particular incident? What is it Krishna wants me to learn in this particular I don't want to tell the details, but so Rompad Maharaj was telling, you know, there were some complaints about some Maharaj did something or something like that, you know, not so impartial decision or whatever. So somebody complained against like that, you know, what do we do in this situation? Maharaj is not impartial, like that. They were seemingly, you know, it's not correct. Then first of all, at our level, we cannot even make such statements like that, right? And at his level also, he is saying, you know, okay, seemingly it's a discrepancy, but it's between him and Krishna. Right? I am no one to make a comment. I am no one to make a judgment call. It's between his relationship with Krishna. And this is how he wants to serve Krishna. Maybe there are certain rules. Maybe he chooses to not follow. Maybe seemingly it's not following. Whatever it is. But see the consciousness, or rather, you know, that's what we need to practice. If somebody is doing something wrong, seemingly, you know, or we may feel, you know, they're not up to the standard, they're not following the rules, you know, seeming whatever we have heard, we may feel it's not really up, it's not really, you know, satisfying Srila Prabhupada, it's not in line with the movement, and it's, you know, maybe disturbing others, so many things, right? Mm-hmm. So we should see it's between them and Krishna. That's how they want, chose to see, serve Krishna. Like, for example, materialistic people. We cannot go and say, you know, why are they all enjoying, what is this there, you know? But that's how they want to serve Krishna. So we are giving the same factor of free will which Krishna gives us, we are giving that to others. Benefit of doubt and the factor of free will. That's so. Of course, that doesn't mean we are sanctioning their behavior.
How was serving Krishna? I didn't understand that. Okay, I understood that.
No. See, you understood this one. Okay, well, that one I'll clarify again. But you see, just by accepting like that doesn't mean we are accepting the behavior.
Yeah.
That's a different thing. Doesn't mean, you know, we tell everybody you behave like this. That's a different thing. Okay, so between you and Krishna means, like, they, for example, let's say we are talking only about bhakti process, we know certain rules, right? So they also are familiar with all the rules, what pleases Prabhupada, everything, they are familiar. But purposefully they chose to not follow certain things. That means it's, you know, it's, that's how they want to, that's the commitment they are giving to Krishna. That's the relationship they want to deal with Krishna. Saying that, okay, certain things I don't want to serve you such a way. In every else way, I want to be strict. But in this way, you know, give me the free will. You know, I want to do this way. Krishna is also giving to give them. So like that, we should also allow them to give that, you know. But that doesn't mean it's the right behavior. But this I think is a very, very fundamental principle. And eventually, if we end up dealing with issues and all, if we somehow have this practice and consciousness, then we will be very, you know, we will never lose lotus feet of Krishna. That's the main thing. In different situations, trying situations, the test is that are we coming closer to Krishna? If in the situations, if we try to use our false mechanisms to get things done or get the, you know, majority and things like that, then actually we are going away, we are taking shelter of Maya. But in these situations, if our sadhana is increasing, our dependence on Krishna is increasing, that means it's yoga Maya, it's helping us come closer to Krishna. It's a practice, we have heard it so many times. Okay, text number 30. So this we saw that, you know, actually who sees is the one who knows that all activities are performed by the body and by the material nature, but actually the self is not doing anything. The soul is not in touch with material nature, but just by the desires everything are happening. So it's all performed by prakriti. That verse is there, prakriti kriyamane manani guna karmani sarvashah, right? That verse is there, where it says actually material nature is a doer. But at the same time, because soul desires, it's accountable for its actions. It doesn't mean, you know, okay, material nature is doing anything. Oh, actually material nature is taking my hand and putting knife towards your stomach. You cannot say like that. Because of my desires, material nature is acting. But at the same time, I'm not the only doer. I'm the doer, but I'm not the only doer. Okay, we discussed this. So, okay, let's cover briefly what we have to do today. 31 to 35. Okay, we'll read the English because we lost the time. When a sensible man ceases to see different identities due to different material bodies and he sees how beings are expanded everywhere, he attains to the Brahman conception. So same, similar verse actually. So he, the sensible man or the learned person, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne, learned person, he is not seeing different identities. So it's not like, okay, this person is thin, this person is fat, this person is small, this one is tall. These are all different ways we can discriminate people, right? So they don't see all. He sees only that living beings are expanded everywhere according to their desires. So that he is seeing spirit soul. Okay, we'll read the short purport.
Even one can see that the various bodies of living entities arise due to the different desires of the individual soul and do not actually belong to the soul itself. One actually sees. In the material conception of life, we find someone a demigod, someone a human being, a dog, a cat, etc. This is material vision, not actual vision. This material differentiation is due to a material conception of life. After the destruction of the material body, the spirit soul is one. The spirit soul, due to contact with material nature, gets different types of bodies. When one can see this, he attains spiritual vision, thus being freed from differentiations like man, animal, big, low, etc. One becomes purified in his consciousness and able to develop Krishna consciousness in his spiritual identity. How he then sees things will be explained in the next verse.
Hmm. So this is spiritual vision. So Radha Krishna Prabhu mentioned, actually whenever we talk about this concept, he says, how do we practically apply this vision? No, okay, this is the how they see, right? That they see only spirit soul, not the like different types of bodies and different types of races and different types of cultures, right? They don't see all those things. So the way we apply this is, if we can give Krishna consciousness without any discrimination to anybody. So while giving Krishna consciousness, whoever is favorable, irrespective of, you know, what background they are, you know, what sex they are and what physically they look like, if we give them indiscriminately, that's when we are applying this principle, equal vision, right? We are seeing everybody as a spirit soul, potential, has a potential to attain bhakti. That's what we are seeing, right? So then that's when we are applying this principle, where we, in without any discrimination, we give Krishna consciousness to others. It's okay? Okay. So text number 32. Those with the vision of eternity can see that the imperishable soul is transcendental, eternal and beyond the modes of material nature. Despite contact with the material body, O Arjuna, the soul neither does anything nor is entangled. The same point again. So even though the soul is entrapped in this material nature, it's actually not doing anything. It's not really touching the material nature. So short purport, we can read.
The living entity appears to be born because of the birth of the material body, but actually the living entity is eternal. He is not born, and in spite of this, in spite of his being situated in material body, he is transcendental and eternal. Thus he cannot be destroyed. By nature he is full of bliss. He does not engage himself in any material activities. Therefore,
okay,
the activities performed due to this contact with material bodies do not entangle them.
Okay, this is not like us. This is not like our activities entangle us, right? This is talking about a person in Brahman conception. Self-realized soul, basically. A self-realized soul doesn't do any activities which will further entangle them. Pure devotee or... So they do only activities which will elevate them, and they do transcendental activities. That's the point, actually, you know. So we should understand in that concept. Because earlier verse, Krishna says about Brahman conception, right? So here he's talking about a person who is self-realized or who has already attained the Brahman conception. So that person, his soul is not really doing anything. Okay, text number 33.
Okay, you said Brahman means
this. Soul, spiritual, yeah, self-realization. Realizing everybody a spirit soul. Text number 33, the sky, due to its subtle nature, does not mix with anything, although it is all pervading. Similarly, the soul situated in Brahman vision does not mix with the body, though situated in that body. So this is a clarification of the earlier verse. So who is it talking about? This is talking about a soul who is situated in Brahman vision. Even though it's situated in the body, he is not mixing with the body. See, like how the water is on the lotus leaf, right? It doesn't touch the water, it's waxy surface. It doesn't touch the leaf like that. So sky also, analogy is given, sky does not mix with anything, it's subtle, that's what he's saying. Okay, let's read the short purport.
The air enters into water, mud, stool and whatever else is there, still it does not mix with anything. Similarly, the living entity, even though situated in varieties of bodies, is aloof from them due to his subtle nature. Therefore, it is impossible to see with the material eyes how the living entity is in contact with this body and how he is out of it after the destruction of the body. No one in science can ascertain this.
So the soul is the subtlest entity, right? Even mind, people say mind nobody can see through microscope and things like that, but people accept there is mind, people accept there is intelligence. So similarly, there is soul, because absence of soul, we can see it's a dead body, right? It just deteriorates. You know, with that fact, with that things, we can understand there is a subtle living entity, subtle soul, actually. That's what it's Prabhupada is telling in the purport. So science cannot really prove there is a soul, but based on the behavior, we can accept that there is a soul. Okay,
so soul desires, that's why body is doing all this activity.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
So when body does all that activity, does soul get some satisfaction? Or
you asked this earlier.
maybe in the next life it will not have same desire because it did that activity earlier.
So there is some satisfaction, but it's not completely satisfying to the soul. The soul really gets satisfied. The food for the soul is a spiritual stuff because it's spirit, right? The way it can be satisfied is by engaging in Krishna, Lord service. That's really gives it satisfaction. But otherwise, it's just a feeling of some kind of, because of the, because of the senses in touch with sense objects, like for example, touching something soft. Right, so that the skin, the sense of sense skin is in touch with sense object. Right, touch skin is experiencing the feeling of touch. Tongue is experiencing feeling of taste. Tongue is the sense and the sense object is the taste, right? And it's tasting some really material object, whatever, right? The gulab jamun or whatever, it's completely material, of course, unless it's offered. Right, so by just with the touch of senses and sense objects, there is a feeling of some kind of flickering happiness, or that's also because soul is misidentifying with the body, and it thinks that this is how it's getting happiness. This is how it is supposed to enjoy. But the same things, senses coming with sense objects, we can do it in Krishna conscious way. That's how Amrish Maharaj did, right? By using the legs to travel to the temple, using the hands to cleanse the temple, using the tongue to chant the holy name, eating prasadam. By doing that, it is getting spiritual sense gratification. And that gives real satisfaction to the soul. Otherwise, always you hanker. One day you eat and next day you want to eat again. Right, one day you touch something, again you, after a few days you want to touch the same thing, right? Like silk and all those things. So it's never ending. It's just going to entrap us more and more. And you're saying just that in this life it's experienced. Does it mean next life it will not experience it again? That's what you're saying, right? Question. Let's say in this life I've experienced, you know, the frustration of a particular type of desire. So you're saying in the next life maybe will the desire stop? That's your question, right? No, it will not stop. Because
it will not have a memory, right?
Yeah, it will not have a memory and it's not purified basically. Desires are still there. There is no material way to purify these desires. Only bhakti is powerful enough to remove the seeds of material desires. That's the only way actually. Even through all this yoga and all, it just, for a time being, it subsides and it feels like it's gone. The moment something else happens, that's all, it all comes up again.
So why I keep asking that question, Mataji, because that desire comes from the soul, right? And then body is performing that activity and it's not getting satisfied because of that.
No, body
so
is
desire
not...
desire is coming from soul, right?
Yes, desire is coming from the soul because soul is now thinking, I am this body. So its desires, that's a very nice purport somewhere Prabhupada said, you know, originally soul's desires are pure, but the moment it's entrapped in the body, Krishna, because of the false ego, the soul identifies with the body. Now its desires to enjoy through the body. Still it's desiring. That, okay, I want to touch this, I want to eat this, I want to, you know, see this, I want to hear this. This really soul's desires again. Right? Otherwise, unless you have desire, how can you go and sit in a movie and watch for 3 hours? Right? Somebody cannot force you to do that. You feel there is some happiness and you want to do it, that's why you're going. Right? So the problem is soul is desiring in a wrong way. That's what we need to fix.
Soul got, like when we are not aware of your soul. Yeah. So based on the condition that we have, we feel that will give us pleasure.
Yeah.
So that's why we want to still seek that will give more pleasure at this time.
So many lifetimes, this is how we habituated to seek pleasure. So that's why everybody comes to the turning point. You know, I've tried this so many times, so many lifetimes, maybe we don't know so many lifetimes. At least in this life, I've tried this. All types of, you know, for example, when we are in India, people say go to US. When you are US, you know, people say you earn job, you get money. Beyond all this still, for example, here billionaires, millionaires, they are still there is a very, very nice song I was hearing, some old song. They were saying, you know, oh, I wanted a lot of money, I got the money, but still I will give everything for a little peace of mind. They say, I wanted beautiful girls, I got all of that, but still I'll give everything for a little peace of mind, right? So get all these material possessions, but ultimately people are looking for peace of mind, happiness, satisfaction at the real soul, no, really, which the soul is anchoring. So either through hearing we should come to the conclusion, or otherwise if we are a little bit less intelligent, then we have to experience it, like, you know, okay, still I want to try this, still I want to try this, still I want to try this. Then it may take a long time for us to learn the lesson, then it's okay, that's how we want to, that's the level we are at, so it's fine. Okay, text number 34. O son of Bharata, as the sun alone illuminates all this universe, so does the living entity, one within the body, illuminate the entire body by consciousness. So it's a very nice analogy here. It says the sun, only one sun is there which illuminates the whole universe. Similarly, just one soul is there, one living entity, primary living entity within the body, which illuminates the whole body by consciousness. So whatever happens in any piece of the body, we can feel the pain. Soul is feeling the pain because of identifying with the body. But otherwise, we have examples where self-realized souls, even like our devotees actually, you know, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, you know, if you see his passing lecture of Radhanath Maharaj, you will see, you know, his one leg is amputated and there's a bone between the shoulder and the hand is broken. You know, he is in that state. But he is saying that I don't want to trade my position to anybody else in the world. This is the best position. Why? Because he is feeling that he is serving the devotees the best way in this situation. So many devotees all over the world are getting inspired that how he is, you know, sustaining his Krishna consciousness in this situation. There are people who left Krishna consciousness and are coming back saying, no, I want to come take it up because you are showing that such a shining example. So he felt he is preaching, or rather he is serving all the devotees more than he did 30 years when he was normal. So that is his service attitude, you can imagine. And that attitude is giving him happiness despite what body is going through. That's elevated, very, very elevated stage. But we have examples in front of us, you know, we should read about them. These are not, you know, fictional stories, like, you know, people are self-realized, they don't feel anything about body. Body is in pain, but their consciousness is not absorbed in that. Their consciousness is with Krishna. Right? Sat and Asat, right? Asat is a temporary and Sat, they are absorbed in Krishna. You know, the moment, like even in that stage, the moment somebody sings Kirtan, he just jumps up and down, because he wants to inspire people about Krishna consciousness. You know, that is his, you know, bliss in Krishna, he feels ecstasy, you know, it manifests ecstasy and all those things, you know.
So who's the example you gave?
Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj.
Bhakti Tirtha. Mm.
So there is a very nice five lecture seminar Radhanath Maharaj gave about him.
No.
He didn't share. We can look it up. You can send the link on this one.
Oh, I don't probably share when you showed.
That is Prabhupada's video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, please, you know, listen. If you have any some time, you should listen to that seminar. You know, whole life. Huh? Yeah, she will share. Okay, let's read few lines in the purport. The consciousness of the living entity.
Consciousness of the living entity, although qualitatively one with the supreme consciousness, is not supreme, because the consciousness of one particular body does not share that of another body. But the super soul, which is situated in all bodies as the friend of the individual soul, is conscious of all bodies. That is the difference between supreme consciousness and individual consciousness.
Yeah. So individual soul is only conscious of this body, but supreme soul is conscious of all the bodies. So that's the difference. You know, we cannot say we are supreme soul. Okay, last verse, text number 35. Those who see with eyes of knowledge the difference between the body and the knower of the body. So knower of the body is the soul, and can also understand the process of liberation from bondage in material nature, attain to the supreme goal. So we have to know both the body, material nature, and the soul, and the process of liberation, basically devotional service. Then we can attain the goal. So basically, even there's one verse in Ishopanishad, it says, while cultivating jnana, we should also cultivate what is ajnana. right? Simultaneously we should cultivate, so we know what not to do. For example, Krishna also gives some examples through his devotees what we should not do, right? For example, Indra, most of the times that's the example he sets, all the mistakes he makes. So we know, we have an example of if we do such a bad thing, what's going to happen, the result, consequences, we know. So people follow accordingly. Okay, let's read the second paragraph. Faithful person should be at first have some good association.
Faithful persons should at first have some good association to hear of God and thus gradually become enlightened. If one accepts a spiritual master, one can learn to distinguish between matter and spirit, and that becomes the stepping stone for further spiritual realization. A spiritual master, by various instructions, teaches his students to get free from the material concept of life. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, we find Krishna instructing Arjuna to free him from materialistic considerations.
Mm. So that's what, you know, initially with through association, after that, you know, very foundational or fundamental is the guidance of the spiritual master. So based on the nature of the disciple, they will guide accordingly how they can get freed of this material concept of life. There's a very nice lecture long time back, I think I was there in person, I don't know now reference how to get it, about Rompad Maharaj gave a lecture about 10 offenses, and he said that actually every offense is because we always have a materialistic concept of life about that particular thing. So I can briefly say what it means. For example, the first offense, the 10 offenses. First offense is
blaspheme
the devotees who dedicated the life for the propagation of the life. So there we are thinking devotees as ordinary persons, materialistic concept of life. Instead of thinking them as, you know, transcendental devotees, so we start blaspheming them, right? That's first. Second one is to consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma to be equal to independent of Lord Vishnu. It's the same thing. Having materialistic concept, think that everybody is equal, or we say everybody is different from Krishna. They are not related to Krishna. It's all materialistic concepts. So like, the, for example, disobey the order of spiritual master. So thinking the spiritual master is ordinary person, his order doesn't matter. Whatever he says, it's okay. It's okay for me not to follow. Follow. So if you, I don't know how we'll find that lecture, but yeah. So that whole lecture is about how it's everything, the offenses we are doing is because of the materialistic concept of life, thinking everything matter. For example, holy name, instead of, you know, to not know the glories of the holy name, one offense is there, right? Holy name also we think ordinary, right? Or to disobey the to preach to the people who are not favorable, right? So that's also because when we think holy name, we can cheaply give to others, same thing. So this get free from material concept of life, it's so fundamental that actually spiritual master is helping us through that. It's helping us through getting rid of this material concept of life. So one incident I can share, which is now it's occurring to me, about my, in my life, one incident how, you know, I was get free from this particular thing. So essentially, you know, I was working and everything, right, before marriage and before initiation, all those things. So I always, after coming to Krishna consciousness, you feel like everything else is matter, right? Only spiritual stuff is only maybe reading Gita or hearing Kirtan or being in temple. Otherwise, everything else feels like materialistic. Going to gym, for example, I told, right? Even work seems like, you know, it's mundane, or it's, you know, it's nothing, nowhere connected to Krishna, because we don't have the vision to see how it's connected to Krishna. So then for initial few years after I took initiation, even though I wanted to be a developer, somehow I was situated as a tester. And tester, was not challenging enough. At the same time, I came to Krishna consciousness. So extra freedom I was using to listen to lectures, everything. Of course, I was using wisely only. In the sense, I was not at least not wasting time in a wrong way. But still, that it took me the focus away from, you know, my duties I was supposed to do at work and, you know, whatever. It's like, okay, I'll just do my basic whatever is the rest of the time I'd use in Krishna conscious hearing, you know, that's real stuff, you know, that's what we need to do. So for a few months or something, I did like that. And somehow I got this instruction, you know, work is your service. Then I was, some sincerity I had, and then every day before starting work, I was praying. No, this is instruction I received and I am nowhere, I don't have any realization about this. Please Krishna reveal. Then gradually while revealing, I understood, you know, what a mistake I'm making. I'm not at all thinking work as a service. I'm thinking it's like some mundane thing, right? Not connected to Krishna. So okay, gradually it was revealed, and finally it came to the stage that I already jeopardized my work so much that actually my manager was kicking me out of the team so much. And also having this consciousness of devotee that, you know, I'm better than others. So I had that in neophyte mentality. So I was showing it on others. So I had so many interpersonal issues and all feedback, all those things. So by the time I realized, you know, I want to sincerely do my service, it's time I had to go from the team. So that was good. You know, at least I could start a clean start elsewhere. And then I make sure that, you know, now I took my job, which I really want, developer job. Then I went there. For a few months I had to struggle because I had this conditioning of laxing at work. And I was not really up to speed, you know, how I can perform normally, you know, how generally people work. So it, as a developer, especially when compared to developer, from a tester, right, I joined in the middle of the year. So I was rated in 6 months. So of course, you know, I couldn't ramp up so quickly in the new team, and I was doing like how relaxedly I do tester job like that. So I didn't get initially feedback, but in the review they gave me feedback. Then, you know, that was a challenge there. You know, my new manager also now thinks she's not capable actually. So that was one thing. But then by this time I had confidence, you know, I had the skills, I can prove it. But the tough thing was that in one-to-ones, in my meetings with my manager, he used to cross-question me and he used to ask in such a way that to express his lack of confidence in me. That was always putting me, like, you know, it was very challenging. Now, how do I live up to that? You know, so of course, if manager is thinking like that, everybody else will think like that, right? So forget about everybody else. At least he has to have confidence, and then only he can give higher work or something else, right? Otherwise, existing things also, I'm explaining that this is how we will do. He cross questions. Are you sure? Or like that. So that was very, very tough. No, forget about the review result, everything. It's for 6 months or something, I struggled. But I had this conviction, no? Okay, this is my service. With that realization, okay, I have to live through it. There is no way I can just quit and go now. There is no option. So somehow I went to India trip, Vrindavan, and came back, everything changed. He changed, I changed, and then next review again they gave me promotion. And by the time I left, everybody appreciated, you know, and I came to full realization that work was my service. So all through the just instructions of spiritual master and by sincere application and prayer and revelation according to our approach. So much transition. Imagine I was kicked out versus, you know, when I was leaving, everybody was appreciating. And by this time, I was purified actually now. Mm-hmm. Not working for sense gratification, not working because I don't like to work. See, that's why Krishna always says, right, attachment and aversion. You should not be, it not be under the sway of either attachment or aversion. We work sometimes, materialistic people work because sense gratification. They get money for enjoyment. So that was how initially I used to do. Once you come to Krishna consciousness, we feel now, okay, it's nothing, aversion, like, I don't want this, right? So we should not do that. We should be in the middle. So we should know how we can use it for Krishna service. By doing that, if the service changes, you will not be disturbed. Like when my kids came, and if I had to change service, I was not thinking, oh, I'm missing work. I'm not thinking, oh, good that I missed, I quit work. See? And now it's time again to work, I'm ready to work. So that's, you know, it's a very, it's okay, no, I'm not telling that as a good example of myself, but I'm saying that's the consciousness, that's what principles Krishna is telling, you know, attachment and aversion. We should catch ourselves. Many times we'll be doing things because we are attached, we get something. We don't do things because we are averse, because we don't like it. But we should do it what is for Krishna service. Then we'll transcend these situations. Okay. So last few lines, one who can see the constitution.
Realization, and one should have complete understanding of this chapter with the help of the spiritual master. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of nature. the enjoyer and consciousness.
So again, Srila Prabhupada is saying we should understand these things, soul, matter and supreme soul, by the guidance of spiritual master. So we have our Siksha Guru Srila Prabhupada, who is helping us understand this, and our teachers through whom we have heard. So we are just sharing whatever we have heard. So hopefully, you know, there is some enlightenment regarding this. So, you know, successfully 13th chapter is completed. Yeah. So any questions or comments so far? That's why we discussed that it's all more technical and jnana kind of, you know, this chapter. Next chapter is also about very fantastic chapter. Talks about three modes, you know, how everything can be in three modes. So when we know this properly, we can understand, you know, how we are situated with respect to modes. What is our primary mode? Is it goodness, passion, ignorance? So we can elevate ourselves. We can do certain activities associated with people in such a way that we can elevate ourselves. That's 14th chapter, and then, yeah. Any questions or comments? It's okay? Mm-hmm. Amit Prabhu, you want to ask something?
No. Actually, I was stuck there when you were explaining the equivision all the living entities.
Uh-huh.
But before going there, different, like before going even from human to human itself, we are
you differentiating.
You say like it's like too much differentiation.
Yes, yes.
Even within the devotee
yes,
circle,
yes,
like, forget
yes,
about the material.
Yes.
I'm just narrowed down the scope.
Yes, yes.
So
yes.
Within that devotional circle, I have layers. Okay, this is my my nearest layer. This is my second layer. If I have something, I will try like to ask my nearest layer rather than the, like,
yeah.
So many layers already in my our mind.
Huh.
How to develop that EQ within, like, how to think differently? Because the, as you said in the first just one more thing I want to add to the question, that we try to think everything from material things.
Yes.
So the same thing I was trying to correlate here, yes. In material world also we have a different layers. Like,
yes.
This is my friend, this is my enemy. So we have all the distinction.
Yes.
We don't think equal.
I understand
so
your question.
Same in spiritual, like, we are trying to learn, but still there are so many circles.
That's what. So there is nothing wrong. That's why I want to actually clarify the whole question. The understanding assumptions a little bit has to be clarified. So our society, or rather spiritual society, is not a utopian society. That means either we see everybody as a pure devotee or we see everybody not pure devotee. It's not like that. There is gradation. That's why we discussed, right? There is a healthy discrimination, or rather spiritual discrimination. That's how we need to do, actually. As we grow in Krishna consciousness, we need to have that. That's what, you know, even for example, the gradation is Kanishta, Madhyama and Uttama. Adhikari, right? They say. The devotee is following, you know, there are given, rules are given. Who is called Kanishta, who is called Madhyama, who is called Uttama. Nectar of instruction talks, nectar of devotion, electrons. Next instruction talks about that. Now, Kanishta is a person who comes to temple, who has faith in Krishna, but he sees the only deity as Krishna, but he doesn't see Krishna in the devotees. So he commits offenses to devotees. He doesn't care, you know, how he deals with devotees. He just say, oh Krishna, I'm happy, I'm serving you. I'm directly serving you. That's Kanishta. Madhyama is, he avoids envious, he makes friends with the devotees, he helps the innocent, and he serves the advanced people. So he knows exactly who is innocent, who is envious, who is friend, who is my peer, and who is advanced. That's Madhyama. So Madhyama is a platform where he can preach, he can help others, because he knows somebody he's not so much aware, so he tries to help that person become more closer to Krishna. Right? That is Madhyama. And Uttama is a completely pure platform, transcendental platform, where he sees actually, he is so humble that he thinks everybody else is actually pure devotee, more qualified than himself. And because of that vision, he cannot preach, because he thinks everybody is more qualified than him. So Uttama Adhikari has to come to Madhyama platform in order to preach. Okay, that's a different concept, but it's okay. For why I meant to say is Prabhupada is Uttama Adhikari actually, but he preached because he came down to that platform to preach. Yeah. So so this is the healthy discrimination spiritual society everybody has to do. So there is it's not a utopia. Everybody is a pure or everybody is not pure. It's not like that. There is discrimination. This is not a offensive discrimination. It's not like you are bad, you are good. It's not like that. We are just seeing who is helping me better come closer to Krishna. In that perspective, we are seeing. That's all. If we see somebody is always doing prajalpa gossip, we don't make comment, we don't talk about them to others, but we see it's not really helping me come closer to Krishna. Okay, I don't want to take their association. Like that. There's nothing wrong. One statement I think I mentioned earlier also in one of the classes from Radhanand Maharaj's class, he said actually a person who repeatedly commits offenses to devotees, you should understand that Krishna has severely withdrawn his mercy from him. And we should actually, our service is actually to not associate with that person. A person who repeatedly commits offenses to devotees, we can understand that Krishna has withdrawn his mercy from that person. So he doesn't have any more intelligence to think that, you know, I am committing offenses. So he has, Krishna has already withdrawn his mercy. So our service to that people is actually not to take their association. So Krishna himself is saying like this. So, you know, it's not like devotees means, oh, everybody is the same devotee. It's not like that, you know. There are different gradation. Always we see. Always there is a gradation. Somebody may be completely contaminated, but may be practicing very purely. Their intent is very pure. Then just you see matter of time how they change, their transformation happens. But somebody may be not coming from very pious background, almost, you know, non-meat eating, everything, very pious background, but they are not so fixed, intent is not so strong about attaining Krishna Prema, then you see gradually, you know, they will just, it'll become watered down, their practices, everything, and they start aiming for material desires, material positions of society and things like that. You will see eventually, you know, like that. And it should not take much difference to understand, you know, who is following sincerely versus who is not. At least that one we should know. Otherwise, you know, we are completely, you know, in. At least, you know, that's what Bhagavad Gita has to tell us. Where Krishna, Arjuna himself asked, right, who is the transcendentalist, what are his symptoms? That's what, if you read that properly, then we can see who is. Because it should not take much time for people to understand that actually they are saying something, but they are doing something. Even externally, of course, we may not be able to see their lives day to day. But people cannot fake it all the time. And so, things will come out. Yeah. It's okay? It's okay? Yeah. Okay, we'll stop here. Yes. All the Rishila Prabhupada.